The Lord be with you.
With your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At the sight of the crowds, Jesus' heart was moved with pity. They were like sheep, troubled and abandoned, sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And then he summoned his 12 disciples and gave them power over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure every kind of illness and disease. The names of the 12 are these: first, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon from Cana, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Jesus sent them out after telling them, "Do not go into pagan territory or enter a Samaritan town. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, make this proclamation: the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Without cost you have received, without cost you are to give." The Gospel of the Lord.
The Gospel is always alive.
The Gospel is alive, so let us look at the life, the teaching, the gift of the Word of God given to us today to enlighten us, to instruct us, to inform us about the manner in which we, as followers of Jesus Christ, should claim our way of life. There are two things that I dwelt on during this week, reflecting on this scripture today from the Gospel. One is that Jesus saw. He saw the crowd, and he saw them, he had pity on them. The Greek word pity doesn't really tell us how profound this was. The Greek word is splenzitsatai, which means, splankna in Greek means your intestines. And the Greeks believed that the center of our emotions were in our intestines. And therefore, when he says he was moved with pity, it means something very deep affected Jesus. It wasn't just moved with pity, it was a deep, troubling sense of care and sense of compassion that Jesus had when they speak of us, splenzitsomai. He saw with the heart. When you see with the heart, you can see things you can't see with the eyes. That appears over and over again in the Gospels, in the life of Jesus. One or two brief examples. In the first chapter of the book of Mark, a leper comes and Jesus sees the leper. He sees his pain. He sees his isolation. And he touches him. To connect with him, he touches him. And then he heals him. He sees him with the heart. There's another one, a very touching moment in chapter 7 in the Gospel of Luke, where in the village of Nain, he comes upon a funeral procession, the only son of a widowed mother. And they're carrying him out on a stretcher to be buried. and he stops and he touches the stretcher, which according to Levitical law makes him unclean. He ignores the law and he sees with the heart and he touches the stretcher and raises that boy to life, hands him back to his mother. He sees with his heart. One more very powerful example. In Luke chapter 15, we're all familiar with the prodigal son. We're also familiar with Rembrandt's last great masterpiece, which he did in 1669, the same year he died. This was his last great masterpiece. And in the great painting of the prodigal son, The Return of the Prodigal Son, by Rembrandt, the father is elderly and the father is blind. So Rembrandt, the parable says, the father saw him when he was far off and he ran out to greet him, to bless him, to welcome him. How did he see him if he was blind? Rembrandt said he saw him with his heart. You can see things with your heart that you cannot see with your eyes. I know this myself in my life. Today, I was ordained 62 years ago today, so you can tell I've been around for a while. I can see things now I could not see many years ago. I can see beyond the law. I can see the person. I can see with compassion now, which I did not have when I was younger. I'm blind in many ways, but I can see. The father in the parable, it's not so much that he embraced his son and his son was given a new life. The father was changed when he saw with his heart. The first teaching of this gospel reading is a call for us to see with the heart, not with the eyes. There's a beautiful example of this in Father Greg Boyle's book, Barking at the Choir. Many of you have read this book, I'm sure, and if you didn't, it's worth reading. He speaks in this way. Father Greg Boyle, we're all familiar with Greg. He's a good brother. He speaks about Martha. Martha had a tough life, abandoned, tortured, abused as a child. She predictably transmitted her pain long before she got around to transforming it. Gangs, drugs, and prison filled nearly 2 decades of her life. She carries that particularly heartbreaking pain of, in her addiction, giving birth and having a child, and the child taken away from her and raised by strangers. She works for me now and is solid in her recovery. But the shame and disgrace, the principal suffering of the poor, still weighs heavily on her. We talk in my office one day about stuff. She just begins to sob. She folds her arms in front of my desk and rests her weary head, weeping. I touch her shoulder and ask, "Why are you crying?" She looked up and said, "I wish you were God." That makes me chuckle, he says. Why? When Martha came from the words, from her sobbing, she said, "I think if you were God, you'd let me into heaven." "Now it's my time to cry," he says. Martha has changed my life forever. Knowing her has altered the course of my days, reshaped my heart, and returned me to myself. She has not taught me that I am somebody. She has taught me that I am everybody. That's what seeing with the heart does. The first lesson in this gospel is to change the way we see things. There's a family belonging to this community who are close friends of mine, parents and three young children. They come to Mass here. The father is undocumented. He's terrified that he will be picked up and he will lose his family. He will not see his children anymore. And his wife and his children are equally fearful. And I can see with my heart, we are compassionate people. I have no doubt that if this man sat before anybody here in this community and explained his terror, his fear of losing his family, we would see with our hearts. The danger is we see only with our eyes. We see a number. We see a hidden person that we never touch, we never feel, we never bring into our personal lives. They're just numbers. But the gospel says, and Jesus teaches, look with the eyes of your heart. The next thing Jesus says in this gospel reading is, don't go to Samaritan towns. Don't go to the strangers. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What does this mean to us? Go to your home. The deepest wounds we have, the greatest pains we have, come from our homes or from our church, from places we expect to be understood, to be embraced. We expect people in our homes and in our church to see with the eyes of the heart. So Jesus says, before you go preaching the gospel somewhere else, before you start praying to this God of life, take a second look at your home, your family. Take a second look at your church. See if we're looking with the eyes of the heart. That's the teaching of the gospel. It's very powerful and it's life-altering. It could change the way we live. Is this gospel alive? Does this gospel become real to us in our lives? When we look at people in our families or in our communities or in our church who are fearful and desperate and need somebody to say, I understand you, I love you, I love you just as you are. Not the way I want you to be, not the way you could be or I think you should be, I love you just as you are. Could change our families. Might even change our church. Amen. I want to offer this last little thought here before I go to our blessing. William Butler Yeats, this extraordinary Irish poet, has a very touching poem called He Seeks the Clots of Heaven. The closing stanza is, since I am poor, I have only my dreams to offer you. I spread out my dreams beneath your feet. Tread carefully, therefore, you tread on my dreams. Amen. We're going to bless.